Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to E2E Networks Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Soumya Chhajed from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Danish, and good morning, everyone. We welcome you to E2E Networks Limited Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings con call. We have with us on call today Mr. Tarun Dua, the Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Jain, the CFO, and Mr. Ronak Dhaba, the Company Secretary. I must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company may face. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Soumya, and thank you, Danish. Welcome, everyone, to the Q3 earnings call for the financial year ending March 26. Let me start by reintroducing E2E Networks for the new listeners. E2E was founded in 2009 and is among one of the largest AI/ML cloud GPU players in India currently. We have been a champion of contactless computing since the inception, and many of the current large unicorns have used E2E Networks compute infrastructure, and they've scaled up themselves from startup to unicorn stage. Our infrastructure services platform, including tiers for cloud GPU, including our sovereign cloud platform, which can work on-premise as well as remotely, all of that supports the majority of the workloads for CPU computing and GPU computing, including training, inference, vector DBs, model endpoint deployment, and allows for scaling up and a number of other services that are expected from public and private clouds today. Now, today, the majority of our workloads belong to the AI/ML domain, and we are working with really scaled-up customers using our platform and the bare metal platform to essentially allow for high-performance training and high-performance inference workloads, which are scaled up to hundreds of GPUs. Now, some of the latest developments related to E2E that we wanted to cover in the call. So, IndiaAI Orders, as you are already aware, they have gone into implementation, and the majority of those workloads are expected to go live around the end of January 2026. The Jarvis Lab acquisition of assets was completed in this quarter. While we don't expect a very substantial contribution to the revenue in Q4, this is a technology-centric move that rapidly positions us to scale up in the global market. Now, there has been substantial progress on the MRR target we set for ourselves for March 26. I think we are 70%-75% or even 80% there, and we continue to hold our target of being able to hit somewhere close to 35-40 crores of MRR around March 2026 or thereabouts. Now, all our partnerships are going great. We have continued to strengthen all of our partnerships, and we have already seen some progress in terms of actual conversions happening among the enterprise customers through one of our largest partnerships with L&T, and we continue to expect more conversions happening in the near and the medium-term future. Now, we continue to build more Blackwell capacity as we have announced from time to time, and most of the new capacity is going to operate from our Chennai facility. Once again, I would like to briefly touch upon our sovereign AI platform. So, we remain one of the unique businesses in India who has built infrastructure software product sitting here in India with a team which has the experience of building these products all the way back since like 2014 onwards, since when we started the development of our cloud platform. And so once again, I would like to reiterate the levels of sovereignty that we as a nation are trying to achieve. Of course, there are like a number of government initiatives which intersect with our initiatives on the push towards sovereignty. So like one is, of course, like the first level of sovereignty that I think like we have done a very good job of as a country is localization of all our data in India. Now, second part is that like are the physical buildings, the data centers where the data is being stored, do they belong to primarily Indian companies? Like we do that tick mark by having partnered with L&T. So third part is that like are you dependent majorly on open source and your own proprietary software built in India, or are you dependent on software which could have compliance implications from outside the country? And fourth is of course that like for cloud providers who are based out of India, especially based out of some of the Western countries, they have to comply with global laws that apply to even to the data that is stored in India on their cloud platform. So obviously as a cloud based out of India and headquartered in India, like we provide a complete sovereignty over there to our customers. Then the other levels of sovereignty are, which obviously there are initiatives in this country going on, especially the semiconductor mission, the quantum mission, the AI mission. So the model sovereignty is being built with the help of India AI mission. The semiconductor sovereignty is being built with the semiconductor mission. The quantum sovereignty is being built with the quantum mission. So overall, we kind of like find the theme of sovereignty is something that like we have been working on without using the word for a long time, and now we have started using the word. And we would continue to do that to expand our services to AI natives, the enterprises, government customers, and AI natives like which are global in nature and spread all across the globe. So we continue to deliver on the promise of sovereign AI for all our customers. So with that note, I would like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Nitin Jain, to give some more specific inputs about of the progress made in this particular quarter. Over to you, Nitin.
Thank you, Tarun. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today and for continued interest in the E2E network. I would walk you through our financial performance for Q3 26. Q3 FY26 has been a strong operational quarter for E2E networks, marked by robust revenue growth, improved operating leverage, and a continued investment for future scale. Our operational revenue stood at $700 million, registering a growth of 68.3% year-on-year and 59.8% quarter-on-quarter growth. The growth is driven by higher capacity utilization, increased enterprise workloads, and early traction for strategic and government-linked contracts. EBITDA for the quarter stands at $396 million, up by 60.9% year-on-year and 120.2% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA margin came at 56.6%, reflecting strong operating leverage. From a profitability standpoint, we reported a PAT loss of $57 million. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, PAT has improved by 58%, indicating earnings are already trending positive as the revenue scale on the newly added capacity. The primary reason for the loss is on account of higher depreciation, which is increased by $476 million, reflecting the commissioning of large GPU deployed in FY25 and 26. Finance cost increasing as we grow our term loan for the infrastructure expansion. On a cost structure basis, our total expense for the quarter stands at $304 million, which is in line with the business expansion. We continue to maintain tight control on the cost and the inherent scalability of our business model allows incremental revenue to flow through at a higher margin. Our monthly revenue run rate has touched 280 million in December 2025, with India AI mission contracts already initiated, L&T enterprise engagement gaining traction. We expect a strong revenue momentum to continue. To summarize, Q3 demonstrates strong top-line growth and operating strength. Our focus remains on maximizing GPU utilization, scaling enterprise and sovereign cloud workloads, and delivering sustainable profitability as our capacity matures. We are confident that E2E Networks is well-positioned to bring a long-term, sustainable AI leader from India, supported by strong balance sheet and growing revenue visibility. So now I would hand over to the moderator for question and answer session.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Keshav from Nivashya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of numbers. So could you please help us to understand E2E's approach to the cloud reliability? So in terms of any downtime or service disruption, what redundancy measures are in the place that we have taken? So, and how do we typically compensate our customers?
See, we typically compensate our customers in case of any service disruption or downtime due to our reasons based on the SLA. And typically what happens is we have a range of customers. So where there are customers who implement a full single point of failure, disaster recovery scenarios, test their backups regularly. So ultimately we are a self-service public cloud where obviously we provide all to our customers across multiple locations to do a multi-location installation with disaster recovery and no single point of failure. And then obviously in case anything happens, our entire team is there to support the customer to the best of their ability. So, we bring in everything according to how all the public clouds throughout the world do.
Got it, sir. And sir, if we have any update on the software business, are there any POCs that are currently running on the software side?
No immediate updates in terms of we continue to do what we have been doing. We continue to build our software. We continue to talk to a lot of customers, enterprise customers, and we keep validating the requirements. And then we continue to demonstrate our capabilities. And hopefully in the medium term, we'll start seeing some action on the software licensing front for the sovereign AI cloud platform that we are packaging currently. And we continue to heavily invest into that.
And so what is the expected timeline for Blackwell to go live, and from which quarter we can expect the revenue to kick in?
We are expecting in the, before the end of Q4, we should be able to go live with the Blackwell that we have already procured, and we continue to expand the Blackwell capacity.
Thank you so much. I will join back the queue.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Bajaj Alternates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand how is the payment cycle with respect to India emission. How frequently have they started paying in terms of service received by the
India AI mission has actually recalibrated in the latest documents that they have produced, that the payment cycle they have shifted from a quarterly to a monthly. So we hope to see the benefits of that soon. So we are working towards finalizing and figuring out how those payment cycles would eventually work. But like I believe that like that shift is inevitable from quarterly to monthly. So this is very good for us.
Got it. And when can we expect the next lot of Blackwell GPUs to arrive? Because I think we are buying in
We have already received in our Chennai location 1024 B200 GPUs, and we are in the process of deploying those. And hopefully, in the Q4 itself, that we expect to see the deployment completed, and we can start. Seeing like some action in terms of like orders coming in from various places.
Okay, and so can we expect like order win could be possible in Q1 or FY27 onwards for these 1,000 Blackwell GPUs?
Keeping our fingers crossed, like we are hoping as soon as possible.
Okay, and have we ordered the next batch of Blackwell GPUs for further expansion?
So that's an ongoing process. So there are multiple types of GPUs in Blackwell. So we are working on expanding capacity also, and we will continue to expand the capacity on other GPUs as well.
Got it. And just one last thing with respect to EBITDA margins, if you can just provide some light, when can we touch the 70% EBITDA margin? If you look on a YOY basis, there has been dip in the EBITDA margin. So if you can just highlight
I think like quarter on quarter now, we have expanded the EBITDA margin, and I think it's a matter of like establishing the scale at which point like we will be able to hit the expected number as per the business, which is closer to 70 than closer to 55 or 60 today.
Got it. And would you like to guide for next year MRR figure?
So, we'll wait for the next call to do that guidance, I guess.
Got it. Fair enough. All the best to the team. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bharat Gulati from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Firstly, can you line out our capex for 20? What will our capex end at for 26 and then 27? And then if you could also give us a capex guidance for 28 if possible.
Okay, so I guess like we'll need to kind of like wait for a couple of weeks for us to kind of like delineate all these things. So we are kind of like working with our very strong partners and suppliers to kind of like build up the capacity. So we don't want to prematurely announce things today. So let us wait for a couple of weeks. And we will come up with what all we are doing.
Okay. Got it. So any guidance you can give for 26 and 27, a broad guidance also, what we'll end at 26 at least? What case?
So we don't want to give the guidance today. So give us couple of weeks or by the time we are talking about the next quarter, we'll put together a guidance.
Okay, fair enough. So on the 5,000 plus GPUs that we've mentioned in our PPT, so these GPUs that we'll be deploying will be Blackwell. So do we see orders coming?
Majorly, the expansion is from the Blackwell variety of GPUs.
Yeah, so sir, do we see orders coming on also in Q4, or will this roll over into Q1 of FY27 then?
Let's see, we'll continue updating everyone as we go into the deployment phase. So we just received the hardware in the last couple of days. So I think give us some time, we will update everyone.
Alright, and just one last question. On terms of the L&T order that we've won in this quarter, are there any other such orders in pipeline for the coming near term?
We obviously continue to work on with a lot of customers through L&T and directly as well. So obviously, as and when the order fructifies, we will inform everyone. So that's the goal.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's about it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Varun Gandhi from Spirit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi Tarun, could you help me understand how much of India AI mission contribution is happening to our reported MRR, if any? And additionally, with the latest B200 chips, what would be the new peak MRR that we expect to achieve?
Okay, so mostly in the last quarter, the India AI mission contribution has been muted. I think in December, it would have been the most value. But we expect obviously Q4 to be massively different as both the customers, one through NDII mission, continue to scale up in January. So that MRR percentage number, should be much higher. So basically that's an ongoing process. Now, second, we don't want to give any kind of guidance today. I think over next couple of weeks in terms of capacity expansion, what we are thinking, and maybe...
Sorry, MRR capacity that you would expect to achieve. No guidance as such, just the peak MRR.
There is no upper limit for us. So, we don't want to limit ourselves by saying that this is what we are going to only do. So we don't have an upper limit in our mind.
All right. Secondly, on the India AI mission contracts, these are primarily focused on training workloads right now, which we know are typically
mostly. Majority of India AI mission workloads are focused on building the LLM models, sovereign LLM models for India. So I think majority of that workload is going to be training workload. So that's the main focus of India AI mission as of today.
So what is the likelihood that the same LLM developers would also contract with us for inference workloads? Because the implication here is that inference
very,
would
very
have
likely.
More stable revenue.
Very, very, very likely. We are already working with the LLM builders to run their inference workloads with us.
Got you. And
some of them are already running their inference workloads with us, and many of the new ones will hopefully are already working with our customers through our partners for the inference workloads, and we continue to see the acceleration of this trend.
So if someone is contracting for training workloads, there's a very high possibility that they would also. Probability rather that they would also contract for inferencing workloads.
Absolutely.
Also, Tarun, in December, we faced a major outage in the Mumbai servers. So, just wanted to seek some clarification on your end and if there's any major client loss due to the outage and what steps have we taken to prevent such prolonged outages in the future.
Sure. So the couple of points over there. So basically our plan was always to migrate the customers from Mumbai, which is a much smaller location than our Delhi NCR and Chennai location. So the plan was to definitely migrate those customers out. Now we are working on the plan to migrate them onto newer and much stabler infrastructure. On the software and operational side, we have made quite a few changes in terms of increasing the investments into site reliability engineering and working with some of the backend vendors to strengthen our overall infrastructure. From a impact point of view, I think over a period of time, it would become clear what is the impact we are seeing. But as I said earlier, that this was substantially smaller location overall for our infrastructure. So we don't see we don't expect to see a material revenue impact over the medium term and the long term. But that being said, like, we are very, very conscious of working very hard towards making sure that, like, these kind of incidents are completely avoided. And we are able to do better in terms of, like, providing support to our customers before an incident happens, in terms of helping build an architecture that will withstand any kind of failures on a single zone for us in the future.
Understood. And if I could squeeze one last question. Since we spoke in the previous quarter, the AI accelerator industry has witnessed a significant update, you know, with the Google's TPUs becoming the centerpiece of conversation for better cost efficiency. And NVIDIA's hardware moat is now being contested. And the broad expectation is that ASICs in general, the adoption would pick up materially. Now, my question to you, as the management of E2E, is, would you be also open to adopting ASICs within your infrastructure if the industry trends towards that direction? Or would E2E remain an NVIDIA exclusive partner? And I ask this because both choices have clear implications on business dynamics, including CapEx, ROICs. And I also understand that it's very premature to state any conclusive comments, but all I seek is your thoughts on the topic.
No, fair. So, one is accelerated computing is here to stay. Accelerated computing is going to be majority of the workloads going online in the future. Second part is that, like, what is it that the customers are demanding today? What is the roadmap of our customers? What is it that our customers are looking at? I think that is more relevant to basically, like, what we end up adding the capacity on. So, like, in the near future, we again continue to see that, like, basically NVIDIA will be majority of our portfolio, a vast majority of our portfolio. And that is based on the inputs that we continue to get from our customers.
Understood, but okay, go on.
Thank you.
Customer feedback anytime changes, where a customer, when customers start demanding that, like, look, like, can you consider X or Y or Z vendor, like, obviously we are very, very happy to provide what the customers want. So what we are seeing today, as of today, like, is what we have spoken about.
Thank you very much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit the question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Krupa Desai from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible? Yeah.
Yes.
My first question was, how much CapEx have we done for the procurement of 1024 Blackwell series, and how have we funded that?
Okay, I'll let Nitin answer this question.
So for the Blackwell series, roughly the CapEx would be in a range of 600 to 650 CR, part of which is funded through a term loan, which would we have taken from the Axis and HDFC Bank.
Okay. And so last time you had guided that 35 to 40 crores would be the peak MRR for the current 3600 GPUs. So do we still stick to that guidance?
Yes, more or less.
And sir, on that, we had guided that at 35 to 40 crores MRR, 65 to 70 would be the EBITDA margins. So do we expect in next quarter we can hit that?
We are definitely hoping for that.
Okay. What was the utilization rate this quarter?
I think at the December end, we are touching the utilization roughly around 60 to 65%.
Okay. And so the per hour rent for Blackwell series would be much higher than the current. So how much could that be? Any ballpark number?
Broadly, what we are seeing in the international market today is like anywhere between like $3 to $4 approximately for slightly longer term contracts. So, like, we are also hoping to kind of like achieve those kind of numbers.
Okay. And sir, any
ma'am,
further guys?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, ma'am, but
okay.
The question to you.
Yeah.
You can rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Neil Munot from Pico Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, am I audible?
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for the offer. So, other than the enterprise client that we've got from L&T, can these sensors are as enterprise versions also because...
I'm so sorry, Mr. Neil, but your voice is breaking. We can't hear you properly.
Is it better now?
Let me continue the question, we'll see.
Yeah, so sir, I was asking, other than our enterprise clients that we got through L&T, can you give us a sense of our other enterprise client conversions? Like, not exact numbers, but since we are 6 months from startups to enterprises, a broad sense.
No, no, we continue to work with like a lot of enterprises and AI native companies, and we continue to see quite a few conversions. Now, when the conversions are substantial, obviously we'll continue to inform.
Okay. And sir, the new capacity of Blackwell that you've acquired, are they solely for the India AI mission or we're seeing traction for COP outside the India AI mission?
I think like a majority of those would go to India AI mission for sure. So, but like we continue to build capacity even beyond India AI mission as well.
Okay. And so the revenue potential from these 1,000 Blackwell GPUs that we spent, what is the peak spend that we could generate from this? Any number?
Yeah, from an ARR perspective, we are looking at like somewhere close to maybe about 250 odd crores per year or so with the 1,024 Blackwells.
And sir, one India AI mission.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Please limit your question to two questions only. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a general reminder, please limit your question to two questions per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Hitesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Hitesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So there are two questions. How you see the demand going ahead, particularly in India, ex-India AI mission? And the second question is, as voice agents are picking up, how you see the inference business coming to E2E?
So we are very, very positive about both the things. So one is, of course, the global demand is like kind of like going ahead at a very great pace. And so is the Indian demand. Like, so in the recent past, like, we've seen, like, increased demand, on capacity. And, of course, the demand at India AI mission is also definitely expected to go up.
Okay. And, do you see, other than India AI, enterprises are demanding more GPUs or preferring our platform for inference?
Yes, definitely. So, like, in a way that, like, we are working with, like, a lot of partners directly and through our big partners, L&T. So, we are seeing that, like, we should be able to kind of, like, set up, like, a marketplace of inference providers on top of E2E Networks platform.
Okay. Thank you. And how you see the voice agents are picking up? Because they require a lot number of GPUs.
I think like there is a lot of interest in the voice agents. Like, so I think like that is the first major use case in India that is like definitely going online, where people are experimenting with it and like they are putting pieces of that in production. I think that's only going to go up from here.
Okay, so are customers preferring us? I mean, are any POCs running at our end or can you give some highlight on this?
So we don't want to talk about specific customers. Like obviously we are working with our partners over here to kind of like work with like quite a few customers.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Abhishek.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great quarter. Sir, two questions. The first one is, this if I look at the MRR for December, and given the fact that the India AI mission started in December, so it seems that we were able to sell our capacity for shorter projects in the quarter. So can you just elaborate if this short cycle demand has recovered? Because if I remember it correctly, a year ago we had highlighted that some of the demand was impacted. That is the first question. And the second one, sir, is on the L&T partnership which you have highlighted in the presentation. So it says the 1 year GPU service starting Jan 6. So should we see the incremental ramp up in the March quarter for the full quarter from this order, sir?
Okay. So one is, of course, like in the quarter ending December, like majority of revenue was non-AI revenue. And definitely that indicates the kind of like our increased ability to capture more short-term demand than in the past. So that is two. And third is that like next quarter, obviously, we are expecting majority of India AI workloads to ramp up, hopefully by end of January, more or less. The majority of those workloads are expected to ramp up. And third is that like we continue to see the traction with more enterprise customers. So hopefully that should also be additive. So we are very, very hopeful about the next couple of quarters.
This is helpful, sir. And just a broader macro question on, the global demand trends. So with, China, now US allowing exports of GPUs to China, will this create, some form of shortage or demand acceleration for infrastructure providers?
Yes, both. Like obviously, like if a large enough country comes in with additional demand, then like both those trends are expected. In terms of like some level of shortage, but then as we have seen in the past that like the partnerships better over there, like where the partners support each other. So we continue to expect to get like full level of support from all our partners. So that is one. And second, we are definitely seeing like a lot of demand acceleration because of that amongst other reasons. So other reasons being like the, we are now in a far more mature part of the AI inference and training cycle than in the past. So now we are seeing like a lot more maturity in terms of like the sustainability of the demand that we are seeing.
Very helpful. And just one last...
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, sir, but please limit the question to two. You can rejoin the queue.
Okay, rejoin in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nikhil Kothari from Antara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi Nikhil. Yeah.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my questions are regarding some bookkeeping questions. So, first is, do we expect the useful life of assets to be more than 6 years, or are they expected to be replaced entirely for 6 years?
No, definitely the assets continue to run and operate, and there is no end of life until the asset continues to operate, the asset continues to sell, and asset continues to generate income.
Understood. So what are our expectations, like how long should we expect for the asset to come?
We have seen domestic and international providers like looking at periods of around 10-11 years also for some of these assets. But like we are very, very hopeful that like 7-8 years is like a very reasonable expectation for these assets to continue to generate business for us.
Understood. So what ROE are we expecting down the line, like giving this rate of useful life and this rate of depreciation?
We continue to be a technology business, and we continue to expect our ROE expectations based on us being a technology provider who is able to add a lot of value addition to our customers in terms of our software and our ability to help them on the training workload, making them more efficient, ability to help them in terms of organizing their data, etc. So there are a number of capabilities we bring to the table in terms of like through our people and software, and that will continue to add to the returns for us in the longer run.
Okay. So should we expect ROE is greater than or north of 20%?
Broadly, that's the way we look at any technology business. So yes, absolutely.
Understood. And when do we expect to achieve that? 3-4 years down the line?
So I guess like look back is better than like me saying when do we achieve it. So let's get to it and then we look back and say, yeah, it has been done or not.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Yeah. Thanks, Nikhil. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rajkumar Vidyanathan from RK Investment Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, so just a couple of questions. So first question is, what is the utilization targeting for FY26-27?
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Like, what is the...
What is the utilization? You said that the utilization will be around 70% by end of Q4 26. So for 26-27, what is the year utilization number we are looking at?
See, that goes into a bit of like speculative territory, but then given the fact that like we are very, very focused on increasing the utilization, so we continue to target like somewhere between 80-90% of the utilization to be done at some point of time in the course of the next financial year.
Okay. The reason for asking this question is because in the last call you mentioned that the GPU infrastructure acquisition, you will be both prudent as well as aggressive. Prudent in terms of where we have...
We continue to have the same strategy. Like we are prudent as well as aggressive. So...
Okay.
Prudent to ensure that like the there is balance, and aggressive to ensure that like we are capturing as much of the demand as we can.
Yeah, so the question is just to lay down the same question. I heard that there are some expected increase in memory prices. So do you expect that to reflect on the GPU as well? And if that is kind of what, will you become more aggressive?
Some impact would be there in terms of price points on GPUs because of memory. But then, like, these have to balance out over a period of time. So, like, we have seen these hardware cycles again and again a lot of times in the past over, like, last 15, 17 years. So, where it looks like the end of the world, where, like, you're not getting the hardware, whether it is RAM or other types of hardware, and then in a couple of quarters, like the thundering herd goes away and then like things settle down to normal. So basically, like I don't see like a long-term impact. In the medium term, of course, things tend to balance out, like the supply and demand balances out, and the irrationality in prices goes away. So like it's always a cycle. You have to kind of like just run through the entire cycle where you leverage your partnerships to kind of like do better for yourself and for your customers. So that's the way we have continued to operate. Like, so we'll continue to operate the same way, leveraging our partnerships and making sure that we are able to pass on the benefits of whatever we are able to derive from our partners to our customers.
Okay, got it, sir. So yes, since we are calling
sorry
a cash,
to interrupt you, sir, but please.
This is, this is the second question only. So the question is,
yeah, please go ahead.
We are following the SaaS model. So potentially, can we expect to sell more than 100% of our capacity? I mean,
see, like it's a elastic kind of like both demand and supply. So it is always possible to build some level of supply in the short term for customers who are kind of like demanding capacity that you may not have available immediately next day, but like if it is required in the next couple of weeks, then you always have the ability to sell that capacity.
Okay.
It's like these are all approximate numbers. Like when you say a particular per hour price or a particular SKU price, like again, it depends on the same hardware being utilized in a number of different ways. So that results in like a lot of differential pricing. So ultimately, like there is no hard limit on say a particular MRR or ARR capacity. So there is enough elasticity over there to go both up as well as down.
Yeah. So the reason is you will have a better operating leverage, and also they're not, I mean, you'll be selling more on a concurrent licensing model. So that is the reason I asked, you know, whether we'll be able to, you know, have a higher capacity.
It's not as much as SaaS, obviously. But like, definitely there is some level of elasticity which is available. So it's definitely not comparable to SaaS that you can go, a huge multiplier up or down, but like definitely on infrastructure, there is some level of elasticity.
Oh, got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, kindly limit the question to one question per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer all the questions from the participant, please limit the question to one question per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Nishant Joshi from Equisense Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So the first question is that recently there was a news in which the government is planning to go for another round of bidding for around 15,000 GPUs, Blackwell GPUs. So at what time frame we expect this bidding to take place? And in previous calls also you have said that
these are all public announcements. I think like the current date for submitting the bids is, I believe, like 18th of January. So this is all public information. And so this continues to be a very continuous empanelment process on AI mission. So we continue to kind of like provide our inputs at each level of participation. So that is definitely expected to kind of go on online. So in a way, I think it's a reflection of demand that we are seeing from India AI mission, that like there is current demand of another 15,000 GPUs, and that's not the end of it, is what we understand.
Sir, I mean, is this a part of original 10,000 crores and plus 8,000 crores of the bidding which took place, or it is besides that?
Yeah, I think we have seen enough news that like there is, I don't think, our interpretation is that like the government is not saying that like we are limiting the AI mission to 10,000 crores. I think in a way that was like an initial allocation. So I think, going out on a limb over here, like I think, like Indian government intends to continue to support the AI mission in a big way.
And the second query was, what is our present capital work in progress, and do we plan to raise any fresh equity in coming quarters?
See, we always keep the market informed about our plans. So we'll continue to provide like the information around any kind of fundraise that we do on the equity side.
But
So the query
I'm
was.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir, but please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akhilesh Rawat from Ridanta Vision Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, at what utilization level do these new Blackwell GPU assets are start to become EBITDA positive on an incremental basis?
I guess like Nitin would be able to answer this question better than me.
No, from an overall perspective, the additional EBITDA for the new GPU would tend to around 75 to 80%. So there is a very good headroom across in terms of with a small capacity utilization, they would be breaking even at a EBITDA level.
Okay. And if I can, can I ask one more question?
Yes, sure. Please go ahead.
Is your current depreciation guidance assuming the immediate utilization, or does it already factor in the commissioning lag? Is there any to commission the GPUs?
I think this is more of a look back question than a question that we can very closely predict. So I guess let's look back at this question by the end of the next quarter.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. All the very best for the upcoming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Debashish Mazumdar from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Debashish.
Yeah, hi Tarun. Thank you so much for taking my question. This 35 crore monthly run rate revenue that you are thinking of achieving in March 26, what is the current capacity utilization that will be reaching on the 1,100 crore of gross block that you have mentioned at the end of H2?
Yes, so
the 4,000 units of installed capacity.
So by end of December, the current installed capacity, I think we reached about 60-65% of utilization. That was mentioned by Nitin. So that's the current data. And hopefully in the next quarter, that utilization percentage should increase.
Okay. So is it fair to assume that on the current 4,000 GPU unit that you have currently installed, the MRR could be around 50-55 crores at the best case scenario?
So these are all elastic. So in that sense, theoretically, if it is possible, probably the answer is yes. But practically, I think we are talking about for the March timeframe, we are looking at 30-40 over here.
And because Tarun, the question why I'm coming to is because if you are reporting 35-40 crores of monthly run rate, then you will be reporting around 400 crores of top line and 250 crores of EBITDA. Then your incremental depreciation doesn't justify this kind of investment. So I'm just trying to understand what I'm missing.
I think you might want to look at the numbers more closely, and if in case you want to take it offline with our CFO, probably you can do that. So my understanding is that overall from a run rate perspective, in the future, the math definitely works out for us.
Okay. And the incremental investment that you have done, the GPUs of the 600 crores investment, what is the potential revenue or potential run rate that you are looking at there?
Are basing the projection of the ARR capability from those 1024 GPUs based on bottom price. So I think that bottom number would be somewhere anywhere between 245 to 250 odd crores on a ARR basis.
Okay, understood. So that means your with this 1,000, your incremental revenue would be almost similar
so
to...
Sorry, sir, but please limit the question to one question. So we have...
No problem. I will take it separately.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shiti Saraf, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Karan. Congratulations on the good set of results. I wanted to ask on the Jarvis Labs acquisition, you mentioned that it opens up a global opportunity. So if you could shed some light on what sort of opportunity you are seeing in the global market.
So what we have seen with Jarvis was that like majority of their customers were operating from outside India. And that is what made us very, very interested in kind of like acquiring their assets, including their software and people and the hardware. So essentially, like they built like a highly integrated platform and product that can kind of like onboard people, a specific set of customers. Who operate with lower ARPU but like at a higher margin, and people who prefer like completely self-service without having to kind of like speak at all to any kind of support. So mostly at E2E we tend to work with larger customers with a bit more handholding compared to Jarvis. So with that respect, like we expect Jarvis to get scaled up in the medium term outside India and add to the overall capabilities of the E2E platform.
Understood. That's helpful. Secondly, do you see, where do you see the company going or where would you want to spend your efforts in terms of the next year or a couple of years, let's say, because obviously the enterprise opportunity is large and it's large enough. Any sort of R&D you're doing on what next, apart from targeting enterprise segment?
We continue to heavily invest in our software and AI capabilities. So that is one major focus area for us. And second focus area is to create a standard-based infrastructure, including the software layers on top of that, that people are able to utilize very quickly. And are able to get like a great return on deployed resources very, very quickly. So kind of like that remains our focus, how to generate the ROI for our customers in terms of like if they get resources, compute resources on our cloud, public cloud platform or private cloud platform, how they can achieve a better utilization. And do what they claim to do like faster and quicker compared to other places.
Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the interest of the time, that was the last question for today. I would like to end the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
So thank you all of you who have joined the call today. Once again, I would like to thank our board of directors, including independent directors, thank all our partners, all our vendors, all our customers, and all of you, our investors and your families to have supported us in this journey. And we continue to look forward to the support of our entire team and all our ecosystem partners and all our investors. So once again, I would like to thank everyone. So thanks everyone for joining the call. And it's always enlightening to kind of like listen to the questions and gain insight. So thank you everyone.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On behalf of E2E Networks Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.